All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. We may have a few more that trickle in. It feels kind of thin, but I couldn't tell you who it seems like is missing.
Good morning. Joey and Alicia not here now. Where they are?
Joey and Alicia, the Lanes. Is Gina teaching? Joyce is usually here by now. Brenda's out there helping people in.
She's out there cooling off.
So, yeah, really. We all that to say, we may see people continue to trickle in. Let's start with prayer, and then we'll dig in. Father, this morning we remember your gracious abundance and generosity. We remember that you love us with a relentless love. And we are so thankful that you have called us your children. Father, today as we think about the city and what's happening to our own community, I pray that you would give us insight, that you would give us understanding, and that you would lead us by your Spirit to becoming a church for Maypearl. Maypearl as she is and Maypearl as she is becoming. Father, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right. Softball question to begin. How many of us have ever been to the Busy Bee?
Long time ago.
Okay. How would you describe the Busy Bee to someone who has never been there before? Very country? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's not fancy. It's just warm and friendly.
Not fancy, warm and friendly?
Okay. It's like one of those, that TV show that guy had where he went to dives and what was it?
Diners, drive-ins, and dives?
Something like that, yeah.
It kind of feels like that.
Yeah. It's an out-of-the-way place, off-the-wall place. It's mismatched.
It's really rustic.
But the food is so good.
It's not good for you, but it's good. Yeah, I would say it's rustic, but not in a we're shooting for rustic kind of way. It's rustic in a this is what we got kind of way.
It hadn't changed anything in 50 years.
Yeah.
Brenda said it hadn't changed anything in 50 years. I said, including anything that was equipped with a broom.
Oh.
Was it a service station at one time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an old service station. Okay. Now, same question, but different location. How would you describe McDonald's to someone who has never been to a McDonald's?
Fast food worth versus dinner.
It's
fast food versus sit down.
Okay, fast food versus sit down. Yeah.
McDonald's is more fun for the kids.
That's definitely true.
More what?
It's more fun for the kids.
Oh, for the kids, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that my kids have ever enjoyed going to the Busy Bee.
You could do the city versus country if you wanted to.
City versus country. You got McDonald's being the city.
Yeah. Okay.
So far, all we've said is it's fast food, kids like it, and it's city more than country. How would you describe McDonald's?
The what?
How would you describe McDonald's?
Teenage run for the most part.
Teenage run?
Yeah.
Corporate. It's very corporate. That's a good word.
Good coffee.
And surprisingly good coffee.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the place you would expect to find a great cup of coffee.
According to my
daughter.
It's cheaper. It is. Well.
$1.50 for a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit every morning.
Okay.
Can't get that at Busy Bee.
And yet, when I go through the drive-thru, I wind up spending $35 to $40 for my family. And I always expect it's going to be $10, like it's going to be cheap. No.
They fed me once when I forgot my wallet and I started to cancel the order and they said, no, no, no.
The thing is, they both serve burgers, don't they? And they both serve salads. And they both have soda. But Busy Bee and McDonald's are worlds apart, aren't they? They're just different animals. McDonald's is not the Busy Bee, just with more sales. Right? In the same way, Amazon sells books, but it's not a mom and pop bookstore just with more sales. It's a different animal. The atmosphere is different. The expectations when you walk in are different. The quality of food is different. I don't know which one is healthier for you or less unhealthy. They're in the same industry, but they're totally different things. And cities are the same way. That small cities and big cities are different animals. Dallas is not Maypearl, just with more people. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. One of the things that I've been trying to get across for the last month and a half is that Maypearl is a city. Maypearl is not rural. Maypearl is not wilderness. Maypearl is a city because multiple families living together, people working in occupations other than food production, surplus, engaging in the market, even when it was cotton. It's not like Maypearl raised all this cotton and that we all ate it ourselves. We did business with the city. We were connected with the city. And we have a local government structure. Maypearl is a city. But Maypearl is changing. It's becoming part of the Metroplex. And I'm not here to make us feel better about that or to make us bitter about it. I just want us to be ready for it. And part of getting ready for that is seeing what's the difference between a small city and a big city and how... like, what are the differences in culture so that we can be prepared? Does that make sense? Now, one of the things that I realized, and this is going to be kind of the way that we're going to go this morning, is churches are the same way. And this is a widely observed phenomenon. A church of 3,000 is not a church of 30, just with more people. A big church is a different animal altogether. Big is not better. Small is not better. Big and small are just different. They're just different. And I think that big cities are different from small cities in the same ways that big churches are different from small churches. And so by looking at the differences in church cultures, we can actually learn something about the differences in city cultures. Does that make sense? Hopefully it will. As we go along, we'll flesh that out a little bit more. So we're going to look at cultural differences under four headings. We're going to look at leadership. And in the church, we're going to talk about the leadership being kind of the staff, elders, kind of the decision makers, and then key volunteers and people who are actively serving. In the city, we're going to talk about mayor and city council, and we're going to talk about city employees, people who kind of make the decisions and people who execute decisions. And I realize that that's a biased and unfair comparison, but that's the best I got. We're also going to look, at volunteers and employees. We're going to look at intentionality. What kinds of things do churches or cities have to be intentional about? And how do they cope with change? We'll see if we can get through all this in a week. In just this morning. It may be that we need to truncate this halfway through and do half this week and half next week. One thing that I will say before we dive into leadership, everything we talk about today is in generalizations. You will probably know of some church that is an exception to everything that I have to say this morning. This is broad generalizations. But I do think that the things we're going to talk about are true, and they're more true the smaller the church is, and they're more true the bigger the church is. And they're true the smaller the city is or the bigger the city is. Are we tracking? Ready to talk about leadership? Okay. So first of all, let's talk about access. And this is the access that the church has to the leaders of the church. In a small church, imagine a church of 30, 40 people. The expectation is that every member has direct access to the minister, if there even is a minister. Everybody has his cell phone number. Everybody can stop by unannounced, and they don't need to make an appointment. Just come on in whenever you want. And that's fine. That's the culture. It's the expectation. But in a big city, or sorry, in a big church, if you call the church office, you're not expecting that the lead minister, notice that he is now the lead instead of the only, you don't expect that the lead minister is going to be the one to answer the phone. What's the name of Ed Young's church? Does anybody know? I can't think. It's in Dallas. It's like the third or fourth largest church in the country. Okay, we'll go with the Village Church, because I know that's another really big one in the Dallas area. If you call the Village Church, you're not expecting that Matt Chandler or whoever is handling Matt's work now is going to be the one to pick up the phone. And not only that, it's going to be really hard to get access to him and have a conversation with him. You're going to have to go through multiple layers of insulation. And one reason for that is the lead guy is probably not the one that you need to talk to anyway. If you have a concern about finances, you don't need to talk to the lead minister, you need to talk to the finance guy, the finance deacon or the finance minister or the treasurer or something. There's somebody else that you need to talk to. Oh, sorry, I was supposed to talk about cities before I put that up. In the same way, in a small city, if you want to talk with the mayor, what do you need to do? If you're in Maypearl and you want to talk to the mayor, what do?
Call City Hall.
You call City Hall.
Or go down there.
Yeah, or you just go down there. Hey, Joy, hi. You have a minute? You just sit down, right? That's what you do. If you're in Dallas and you want to have a sit down with the mayor, you call City Hall, and maybe, if you have the right concern, you can get on the mayor's agenda for 3 months from now. But you don't have this kind of direct access. And so governing figures, as cities grow, governing figures become more and more insulated from the people. That's one of the things that I think we can expect as Maypearl grows. Now, I think we're a long way away from needing, you know, 3 months lead time before you can talk to Joy Landry. But that's the trajectory. And again, it's a gradient. It's a sliding scale. It's going to be more true the bigger the city is. Okay. Hands-on or hands-off leadership. In small churches, in a church of 40, the pastoral care is largely done by the minister or by elders if the church has elders, which often in a church that size, you don't have elders. The pastoral care is very hands-on by the staffer. And so it's professional in the sense that ministry is being done by someone in a full-time staff professional position. But when you're in a church of 3,000 and you get sick and you go to the hospital, you're not expecting for Ed Young or Matt Chandler or whoever to come and visit you in the hospital. Because in a church that size, if the lead minister went to visit everyone who was in the hospital, he would never leave the hospital. He would never do anything else. And so pastoral care has to be delegated to elders, small group leaders, small group members, Sunday class teachers, and so on. So pastoral care becomes more hands-off. Small, you have hands-on leadership or hands-on care, and then in big churches, it's more hands-off. In the city, in small cities, city officials, like mayor, city council, get their information about what's going on in their city. How?
People who call them up.
See them at the grocery store. They're griping about, what are they doing with that? You know, need to fix that pothole on 3rd Street. I've been working on it, Karen. They're getting their news. Like, the last time that I went to do the invocation for city council, the mayor was talking about what's been going around on Facebook, on Voice of Maypearl. That's a legitimate source of information for getting a read on what's going on, what people are upset about, and what people are thinking about in the city. But do you think that the mayor of Dallas is getting his information through Facebook? No, I don't think so. He's getting his information through reports from other delegated leaders. So as churches and as cities grow, we're more interested in the city, governing figures become less familiar with the details of their city. In Maypearl, the mayor knows that the water pump is down, and we've got the new one ordered, and it's supposed to be here on Friday, and you can see that box has been sitting out there for 2 weeks, but we just don't have anybody that can come and install it. She knows the combinations to the lockers and where the keys are to get into that file cabinet. But the mayor of Dallas doesn't have that kind of intimate familiarity with what's going on in every little issue of the city. He can't. He didn't have the bandwidth for it. Only so many hours in the day. So as cities grow, governing figures become less familiar with the details of their city. Any thoughts so far? I feel like I'm just rambling. All right, well, I'll just keep rambling. Specialization. In small churches, the minister is a generalist. That means he preaches, he teaches, he puts the bulletin together, he organizes the Father's Day barbecue, he answers the phone when it rings, he updates the website, he does the pastoral care. He's a jack of all trades, and he has to be. He's a generalist. But the larger the church gets, the more each ministry position gets more and more focused. So we have 3 ministers on staff, and we have, I think Tony's a good example of this. Tony's title is Youth and Family Minister, and he's also over technology. So anything technology related, anything youth group related, anything young families related, as Tony. But if you were to go to a church of 3,000, you wouldn't have a youth and family minister who's over technology. You would have a just technology. You would have a children's minister, a middle school minister, a high school minister, and a college. You see what I'm saying? It becomes more focused, more sharply focused, the larger you get. So there's less specialization in the small church, more specialization in the big church. In the same way, in cities like Maypearl, the city council and the mayor are more generalists. They're jacks of all trades. They're voting on every decision, on every expenditure. Okay, we got to buy a new utility vehicle for the utility workers. Well, I think we should get a couple more quotes on this. And they'll sit there and argue about it for 20 minutes whether they're going to spend this money on such and such truck. Because it's a $60,000 expense, and that's like 20% of their revenue. That's a really big decision. In Dallas, do you think the mayor is sitting there discussing for 20 minutes or more about whether we should get more quotes on some utility vehicle? No, he's delegated that decision. And so there's more specialization the larger the city becomes. As cities grow, their government becomes more complex and more hierarchical. More complex. If you have an issue, you need to find the right person to help you with your issue. In Maypearl, you have an issue, you just go down to City Hall and someone will figure it out. There's only so many people to choose from anyway. Does that make sense? You tracking? Okay. In small churches, the minister is always on. His cell phone is the church phone. And he can be reached if you have a question about curriculum or if you've got a prayer request, somebody's at the hospital or whatever, you can call him day or night. He's always on, 24/7. Hopefully you're not calling him at 3 in the morning, but if you need to, he's there. But in a larger church, because pastoral care and tasks have been delegated to different staff members and volunteers and multiple elders and deacons and all of this, the minister is, he's less available in the sense that he doesn't have to be on all the time. There are other people who are shouldering the load. So if you've got a question about the sermon series, I guess you can call him at, you know, 9 at night or whatever, but that's generally not been my experience that people actually do that. In cities like Maypearl, this I think is really important, and this is going to be something that we're really going to struggle with. In cities like Maypearl, the government is your neighbor and your friend. Do you guys know who, I can't even think of how his name is pronounced. Chris Coppinger? Coppinger. You all know who Chris Coppinger is? He's one of our city council members in Maypearl. He came up to me 2 or 3 weeks ago and said, "Hey, I got a bone to pick with you. You need to tell your church they're paying their ministers too much." And I was like, "Yeah, I'll get right on that." He said, "The guy who lives behind me just bought a new truck." I was like, "Oh, that's Tony." Because his truck went kaput, and so he got himself a new truck. And he was just trying to be playful, but it came off, I thought, a little rude. In a city like Maypearl, the government is your neighbor, is your next-door neighbor, and you chat over the fence. And if you have, you know, you go to the city council meeting, and then you go to dinner together, because you know the people that are in leadership. In Dallas, you may not even be able to name the city council members, let alone have any kind of personal relationship with them, right? As cities grow, government becomes less of an us and more of a them. Does that distinction make sense? In Maypearl, government is government by the people. And in Dallas, it's still government by the people, but that means something very different. I think we're really going to struggle with this when we no longer know who it is that's in leadership and we don't feel like we have the same kind of access to them. That's going to be hard for us. And then one more, selectivity. In small churches, shepherds and ministers and Sunday class teachers are often chosen on the basis of their relationships and their reputation. In a church of 30, you're just kind of hoping that you have someone who can serve as a shepherd. You just hope you have anyone who qualifies. You're just hoping when you put out the ad that you're looking for a minister that someone will apply. But in larger churches, not only can you be more selective, you have to be more selective. Because not everybody knows who Tom is. Tom may be perfectly qualified to be a shepherd, but nobody knows who he is because he's one fish in a sea of 3 or 5,000 people. So you have to be more selective. And in cities like Maypearl, as the size that we are now, governing figures are chosen because, well, we know her. We like him. She'll do a good job. You look at the ballot and you go, oh, Joy's running. I know Joy. I think she'll do a good job. And the smaller the city is, the more true that is. In a big city, nobody looks at the ballot and goes, oh, Mike Thompson is running for a mayor. I like him. No, they have to do more advertising, and they're elected not on the basis of their relationships and their reputation. They're chosen on the basis of their platform and their party and their promises. Is that true? Would you agree? As cities grow, governing figures' ideology becomes more important and transparent. I couldn't tell you if Joy Landry is a Republican or a Democrat. I'm guessing she's a Republican because she's in small town Texas. That would be my guess. But it's not because of anything that I've actually seen her do or any decision that I've seen her make. But the larger the city becomes, the more important their ideology becomes. Okay, that's all I have to say about leadership. So this is like a good time to stop and questions, thoughts, insults, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, kind of here in Maypearl, you have to have somebody that will run them. You can't get the people to you know, have that kind of office.
Yeah, you need people who will actually
throw
their name in
there.
You know,
I can't vote for them anyway, so, because I don't live in town.
Okay. What is your, you have a Waxahachie address?
I have a Maypearl P.O. box, but we live out of city limits.
So
we can't vote.
Well, do you get to vote on Waxahachie?
We don't vote for anybody.
You don't vote for
him. No, we don't get to vote for anybody.
City limits.
Mm. Well, school board we do.
Because you're in the district.
Yeah.
But you know, I understand what Mary Sue was saying, but when you work in a small community like Maypearl, kind of like preaching in a small community, you wind up knowing everybody. You know them very well. And they call you by your first name. Now, if you go to a big city, you don't even know who you are, much less what your name is.
Yeah.
So I absolutely love a small community. I think it's the best place in the world to raise children and keep them pretty occupied with good things.
Yeah. Yep. We like Busy Bee.
I was going to say, I think one of the problems that small cities are dealing with more and more, most small cities, people have been there for a long time. Everybody knows everybody, or they know their kids, or they went to school with their kids, and a lot of times they just kind of stay right here. Or maybe the kids move off and come back. But now that you've got so many new houses coming in, you've got new people coming in, and that trust of, oh, well, I've known them forever, I know we think alike, whatever, you don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got new people that want to come in and take leadership, and it's like, we don't know you. Mm-hmm. So that's I would think that would be kind of hard to, okay, we got to figure out a way to trust somebody outside of our little circle.
Yeah. There's already a strong network of relationships, and then when new people come in, it can be very hard for them to integrate and assimilate. Now, I'm not sure if I was just talking about the city or the church, because it's the same either way.
Well, you'll see people at ball games, they congregate with their churches. I mean, you'll see Baptists sit together and Church of Christ sit together. I think it's just really strange.
Well, it's but the they same didn't. One with the family reunion. You go to the big family Quidditch reunion, you sit with your host and lawyer. The people you know, it's just quite like the city.
You may drive through Maypearl and see the mayor driving the fire truck through town.
You may see him not digging a hole, it's fixing water leak. So with those small town jobs comes a big responsibility. You just can't delegate and call Joe the plumber and say, come fix this water leak. You know, if it's got to get fixed, you got to fix it. So that's versus the big city where they've got 15 people under them. They can call any of them to come do whatever needs to be done. They're more of an authority. When you're in a small town, I mean, I served on city council for 8 years. Not here, but I mean, I was liaison over the streets, over the parades, the, you know, we all got duties to do because we didn't have a city manager and we didn't have 3 or 4 employees. Mm-hmm. And so you get delegated that work whether you want it or not. So that comes with your title. There's a lot of work. And so I think that's where you have trouble finding people to volunteer to run for council and stuff because they know with it comes a lot of work.
Well, and I think they see the headache, not just the work, but the grief that people go through. I'm thinking about where our town is right now. There was an angry mob probably a month ago that came out for the mayor's head. There were like 5 or 6 people that stood up and looked the mayor in the face and said, you need to resign, and accused her of all sorts of stuff. Do you want to run for mayor now? No. Now, that same kind of thing will happen in Dallas. I'm sure people call for the Dallas mayor's resignation all the time, and so eventually I think you just have to develop a thick skin. But when it's your neighbor that's doing that, it lands a little different. Nobody wants to step into a dumpster fire. And I think it's easier for smaller towns and smaller churches to become dumpster fires because things are more volatile. There's less margin for error. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that we're a dumpster fire. I want you to want that to be clear. I do think that May Pearl right now is having some issues. Okay, let's...
Is it fair to say, too, that there's less expectation for mistakes? In a bigger city, I think most of the citizens just expect that the government's going to be crooked, corrupt. And in a smaller town, because it is your neighbor, you kind of have a higher expectation.
Well, and you have more of a voice to do something about it. If you have a town of 100 people and you've got a bone to pick with the mayor, one voice is actually pretty loud. But when you're in Dallas, you don't feel like your voice carries any weight at all because you're competing with, what, 1 million people or however many live in Dallas proper.
I was going to say something else. You brought up the church. Hard to penetrate.
Yeah.
Outside. I had never really thought about it, but I guess if I had moved to a new city, and maybe I was used to going to church, I would probably go to church just to get an idea of what's this city like. Because then maybe you could interact with different people, not just your neighbors, whatever, and get a better perspective of, okay, well, you know, whatever. But that, so people may come to the church to get an idea of, tell me about
Maple. Yeah, I know when we came out to interview, I was trying to get a feel for what's happening in Maple and how do people feel about it. And I talked to Joe, and I asked Joe how you feel about all the growth that's going on. And I still remember the answer. This was 1.5 years ago. The answer was, well, I don't like all this traffic. And I don't think I've met anybody that likes all this traffic. Nobody likes being piled up. I was coming from Waxahachie into Maypearl at about 8 o'clock a week or so ago. And when you cross 35 and come to that stop sign where the Shell station is, and you keep going, the cars are piled up there waiting to get on the interstate. I knew that was going to happen, so I counted. There were 63 cars in line waiting to get through that stop sign. Nobody's excited about that. I don't remember how I got started talking about that. Okay, let's talk about volunteers. And again, I'm going to liken church volunteers to city employees because the employees aren't the ones who are deciding whether that new road is going to go in. They're just the ones that are building the new road. or they're not the ones who are deciding whether they're going to buy a new truck. They're just the ones saying, we need a new truck. Does that make sense? Okay. So the domain of service. In the smallest of churches, that is, before they're large enough to be able to pay any staffer, everything is being done by volunteers. Everything. And then when a staff person is eventually added, which usually happens when you get to about 40 people, because if you have 10 families that are all contributing 10% of their income, you now have 100% of an income that you could give to someone. So it's usually about 40 people that you add someone. When you add a staff member, you still have volunteers that are serving in multiple capacities. And the 80-20 principle still applies. You got 20% of the people that are doing 80% of the work. And I think about our own church. A great example of this would be Ashley Royer. Ashley is a small group leader. She teaches at Camp Wednesday. She is planning the ladies' retreat. She's done some construction work around the building. She's got her hands in all these different pots. That happens when you're in a smaller church. When you're in a much larger church, you don't have someone who is serving as small group leader, and they're planning the retreat, and they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're doing this. It would be too much. It would be unwieldy. So as the church gets larger, the tasks that each volunteer performs become more sharply focused. It's the same way we talked about with ministry staff, how you have a youth and family, but then at a larger church you would have a children's minister and a middle school and high school. It's the same principle with volunteers. And so in cities like Maypearl, there are few city employees, and so each city employee has a larger domain that they're responsible for. I wish Devin were in here so I could talk with Devin about this. What kinds of things did Devin do when he was working for the city? Whatever the city needed, right? He's fixing water pipes, he's driving tractors, he's lining up the agenda for the city council meeting. I don't know if that's legally what he was doing, but he has a variety of things that he's responsible for because there's only about 4 or 5 people to choose from. But in the city of Dallas, you have someone who their job is to pour this concrete for this sidewalk, or their job is to manage this one bank account and the expenditures that are coming out of it. And so their jobs become more narrowly focused. Am I out of my depth there? Or does that sound about right? You have more people who work in more specialized roles as the city gets larger. All right, two more. Manpower. Because volunteers shoulder a proportionately larger load in smaller churches, what you often run into is volunteers that are run ragged. They're tired. They're burning out. Burnout is a major problem in smaller churches. Because small churches, you need someone who can manage the building, someone who can manage finance, someone who can manage Sunday school curriculum, and like there are a certain number of tasks. There's like an essential minimum that churches try to do. And you have all those same tasks that are being done in larger churches. And it's easier for them to make sure that someone is over the building, someone is over the finance, someone's over the curriculum, someone's over this and this. And then they still have volunteers that they can plug into other things. But ironically, in larger churches, volunteers are a lot harder to come by. Why do you think that is?
They don't get involved.
Why not?
They're less connected.
They're less connected? And
I sure say they don't see a need. They feel like there's somebody on staff that makes them do that.
Somebody else will do that.
More options.
Yeah, you have more options to serve. You have more people, or at least the perception that someone else is going to take care of it. And you're not nearly as connected. And the connection is the one that I was thinking about. When you are in a church of 40 people, you go home after church one day and you say, Karen asked if I would teach Sunday school for the 6th to 12th grade class. What am I going to do? Tell Karen no? So I guess I'm teaching the youth group class. But in the church of 3,000, it's, hi, I'm Karen. Would you like to teach our such and such class? No, I don't know who you are. I'm good. There's less connection, and so there's less willingness to get involved. And it's another part of this is it's a whole lot easier to say, well, someone else will do it. Look around, there's so many of us, someone will take care of it. I don't need to do that. In the same way, in cities like Maypearl, resources are spread more thin. They run on tighter budgets. Their employees are tired. And that bare minimum of work that has to be done, it's a little easier to take care of it. Now, when I say they run on tighter budgets, Dallas may be running in the red, and Maypearl may be running in the black. We don't actually know if we're in the red or the black. That's one of the problems right now. But in a larger city, buying that new utility vehicle is like a half of a percent of their budget, where in Maypearl, it's 20% of the budget. And so that's what I mean by saying small cities they run on tighter budgets. When you're in a bigger city, the concern shifts from how will we survive to where are we going? Because the bare minimum stuff is taken care of. The critical tasks are being done, and you don't have to scrounge to get it done. And so with the leftover time and resource and energy, you can start to say, where is this city going to head? So you may be thinking about a new interstate coming through. Or, over the next 20 years, we want to grow in these ways, or we want to change the culture of the city in this way. But in Maypearl, we're so concerned with how are we going to pay this bill, or how are we going to keep these people happy, or what are we going to do about this tax rate, that we can't, we don't have the energy to look up to the horizon. But now growth is coming, and we have to look to the horizon, whether we're ready for it or not. And then last one, consumerism. It's easy in larger churches for the members to slip into a consumer mentality because somebody else will take care of that. I don't need to step up. I don't need to serve. Someone else will take that class. Someone else will contribute. But in smaller churches, it's very apparent we need someone to teach, because if Christy doesn't teach that class ain't going to have a teacher. And then Christy's going to make a stink about it to the rest of us, and we're all going to hear about it, and so I'll go. Right? There's more willingness to contribute, but with that comes more possessiveness. What you find is Christy saying, this is my class, and I will choose the curriculum, thank you very much. Excuse me, that's my chair. I sit there. But when you're in a church of 3,000, I mean, I've been to large churches, and I've never had someone come up to me and say, excuse me, this is my seat. You can't be possessive. And not only can you not be possessive, you're more likely to just be a consumer. In the same way, in a city, in cities like Maypearl, people have really strong connections to the land. They have deep family roots. Brenda was talking about this long-established trust and network of relationships. And as a result, I think people become possessive of their city. This is our city, and all these other people are coming in, and they're wanting to do whatever, or they're having to put in a turn lane, and that's messing with my life. But in a larger city, other than voting, people feel like they don't have the capacity to make any kind of change. So they don't get possessive, they become consumers. The city's here to serve my needs. As cities grow, people become consumers rather than contributors. All right. We'll stop there. But any responses, reflections, input?
I was going to say the problem with small churches, when people come in and they don't have resources and they don't have manpower, a lot of people don't want to give it a chance. So that's why they just keep dwindling, because they've got the little ones. The few people are still hanging on. But it's a catch-22. We want to do more, but we got to have more people. So it's kind of sad for the very small churches.
Yep.
Because most of the time they want to grow, but they can't until they get people. And
yeah, you have a 25-year-old who comes in and says, I want to see if they have any young adults here. Oh, there are no young adults here. I guess this isn't the church for me. And they're like, well, if you had stayed, then we would have young adults. And then the next person who comes in would be your friend. And then we'd be able to get some traction.
But I would also say we've been members at two congregations that were over 1,000 people by the time we left. We moved, and would you say? Yeah. And they are both down to enough that they've sold their buildings. And one of them is meeting in a rented place because when a church gets so big and so impersonal that it really only works for people that don't expect that type of community, and in churches of Christ, we tend to expect more community. And so what's happened is these two, one of them was one of the largest congregations in Dallas. I mean, there were 600 singles when we married. That was just the singles. That wasn't everybody else. And so there were more other church members than that. And they're all, they're not gone, but they're all but gone. And I think in the church, we have to take care of business. And I appreciate what you're saying here. I'm not saying anything about what you're saying, because I think it's good relationships of ideas and stuff, associations and stuff. But in the church, we get in this, we're going to grow, and then all of a sudden what happens? Well, they were already declining. They had a lot of debt because they built big buildings, and then COVID happened.
Yep. That's one of the things we'll talk about next week with adapting to change. Larger churches died in COVID because they couldn't turn the cruise ship fast enough. But smaller churches are so nimble that they can change on a dime. They just don't want to change on a dime, but they can. All right. We'll finish up next week.